Hi, this is Julie Christensen with APSE. We're excited to launch the APSE Employment First, Employment for All podcast as a new way to connect with you. This podcast is a way to provide updates, real-time advocacy alerts, and information related to all things Employment First. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And thanks for listening.
Afternoon, depending on when you're listening to this session of APSE's podcast. Over the next few weeks, we will be introducing our newly elected board members to the national board. So we're excited that we have some new folks joining us with lots of great ideas. And one of the new members is Emily Munson. So welcome today, Emily. Do you mind introducing yourself?
Sure. I'm glad to be here. My name is Emily Munson, as you said, and I am a senior attorney at Indiana Disability Rights, which is Indiana's protection and advocacy organization.
Excellent. And I know I got to see you present, gosh, when we actually had the in-person conference back in St. Louis. So I know I learned a lot during your session, and I'm sure, do you present at a lot of different things?
Yeah, it's been a little bit different with COVID-19. I was bummed that I was going to present at a national conference back in June of last year for the National Disability Rights Network, but that got canceled. But at the same time, I'm excited about the way that virtual platforms have made big conferences more accessible to all folks, whether they have disabilities or not. And getting to be a participant at the APSE conference that just happened a few weeks ago was fantastic. That was a really neat platform.
Thanks. We thought so, and we had hoped that you know, the participants would think so as well. Strangely enough, we used the same group Matchbox that we did last year, but I think, like you said, with COVID and everything, I think companies and platforms are changing, just, you know, even every month to update the accessibility and just options for people so that, you know, it's more user friendly across the board.
Mm-hmm.
Which is good. So Emily, I'm curious, why did you decide to run for the national board?
So employment was my main legal practice area at Indiana Disability Rights for about 5 years. So I became very familiar with the vocational rehabilitation program, which I might refer to as VR. I'm assuming lots of listeners are familiar with that acronym. And I was handling ADA, Title I cases, and really got involved advocating for Employment First in Indiana. Another thing that we worked on at IDR was a project where I and the advocates that I work with together visited around 3/4 of the 14C certificate holders in the state of Indiana, and we were able to talk to the folks working there, as well as staff and management in those facilities. And we heard lots of people with disabilities saying that they wished that they could try competitive integrated employment, but either they didn't think they could keep their benefits, which I knew was kind of misleading and a misunderstanding. I myself am a person with spinal muscular atrophy type 2 So a fairly severe physical disability, I need activity assistance with all activities of daily living. Yet, even though I make about $65,000 a year as a state employee, that's public knowledge. I'm still able to
Yes, it is.
maintain. I'm still able to maintain, those critical Medicaid benefits by participating in Indiana's buy-in program. So I knew that the benefits component really should not be an issue for these folks. And the other thing that I heard was that several of them had guardians who were afraid or unwilling to let them try competitive integrated employment, or relatedly, that the certificate holder whom they were working for imposed limits, like until somebody could get to 75% of an arbitrary productivity level, they would not be referred to the VR program. So that was very frustrating for me, hearing about how people were misinformed and stuck. So I became involved in Indiana's Employment First initiatives. I got to meet a really we're fortunate in Indiana to have a very strong APSE chapter with lots of very active advocates and allies. So it was that really got me into Employment First. And then now my job has morphed. I don't do the employment litigation anymore, but I'm in charge of IDR's kind of policy initiatives and organizing those. So now I'm looking at employment, not necessarily on such an individual case level, but a more systemic level, and looking at systemic interventions for expanding opportunities for competitive integrated employment. And to Indiana APSE members, Pat Rogan and Susie Rinney, who both of whom I believe were on the National APSE board in the past, let everyone kind of in our little advocacy network know that APSE was accepting nominations. They encouraged us to apply. I asked them to write me my letters of recommendation, which they very graciously did, and the rest is a wrap.
No, that's I wasn't sure how that came about. So that is interesting. I was actually going to ask you if
I
you're involved with your state chapter, which I think you kind of answered, but I'm assuming that you are active with not only the Employment First group in Indiana, but also with the state chapter of ABSI.
Yeah, it right now the I'm working with the state APSE chapter on drafting legislation to update Indiana's Medicaid buy-in program, which is called MedWorks. And then at the same time, Indiana's Governor's Council for People with Disabilities, which is our state's DD council, has co-sponsored an initiative that Pat and Susie developed called Work to Include. Susie gave a presentation about it at the conference that just happened. And Work to Include is focusing right now on trying to get the state to actually put teeth and money behind the Employment First legislation that we have. Right now, we have, well, we're working toward trying to get an Office of Employment First, and perhaps an executive order and other measures to get the state to become a model employer for people with disabilities. And there are lots of offshoots of work to include regionally, because it's very much a grassroots organization, organized and supported very heavily by Pat and Susie, as they have a lot of expertise in this area. But Pat and Susie have also really worked to listen to people with disabilities and have them co-lead where work to include is going. And for example, one of the kind of local groups in Indianapolis, the little work group, has gotten with the state personnel department at the state of Indiana to have kind of a sounding board for state personnel and employees with disabilities in the state to talk about how to amend the job application process and make other improvements that would lend themselves to supporting Indiana as a model employer.
Wow, that is pretty amazing. You're right. I did hear Susie do her session. I forgot to make that connection, but wow, you are doing a lot of work in Indiana. That is for sure.
It's kind of interesting. Our state's kind of motto is Indiana, a state that works. So one of our big priorities is making sure that Indiana is a state where everyone can work.
Yeah, I love that. I did not know that was the state motto. Yep, that is key. A state where everyone works.
I don't think
maybe you can change it.
I don't think it's our official motto, but it's adopted by some bureaucratic agency, and it's on all of our state computers.
That's great. Oh, goodness. Wow. Well, I think you are definitely a huge asset to the National Board, given all your experience and what you're doing currently. For the upcoming year with National AFC, are there any specific goals or things that you're hoping to work on in terms of, you know, employment first or just opportunities for others?
I think there is a pretty steep learning curve that I'm going to have to get through probably in the next 6 months or so, just catching up on all things National APSE and getting a better grasp of where things currently stand, fiscally, policy-wise, and all of that. I was very excited to hear that APSE is moving forward with a diversity initiative. I will say that one of the things that was difficult for me at the St. Louis APSE conference that you mentioned at the beginning of the podcast was some accessibility barriers. For example, tables were jammed so closely together that one would have to go through the very perimeter to sit if they were in a wheelchair, which made networking hard. Some of the breakout sessions were so jam-packed full that people were, standing in front of me who was seated, or sometimes to get by, I was getting knocked with backpacks and that kind of thing. So I think that one thing I'm looking forward to is sharing my lived experience as a person with a disability to try and make improvements to our initiatives so that they are more accommodating to people with disabilities and other marginalized groups that might be participating or wanting to participate kind of in the periphery right now.
Nope, I would agree. I think that is definitely a need across the board, and especially when you're going to different hotels and different convention centers. I think some do a nice job. Others, I think, are still learning. So, having your perspective is definitely key to making improvements so everybody feels included. I hadn't thought about the networking part, but that makes total sense too, Emily, just in terms of maneuvering through crowds and if there's tables, that must have been very frustrating.
Yeah, and it's not just something that happened at that conference. I think it's a barrier that job seekers in wheelchairs often face because a lot of these networking events are kind of standing room only, or they're done with minimal seating that generally is at bar height. So being down at butt level is not really conducive to getting to talk with other folks or even having other folks be aware that you are in the room with them.
Right.
So I definitely am interested in, thinking up and brainstorming ways to make networking more accessible in and of itself as kind of one of those very critical activities that job seekers need to engage in.
Yeah, absolutely. I know I'm thinking about job fairs and just other interview opportunities, and you're right. Not being at the same level is definitely a hindrance. Well, hopefully with our next conference that will be in Denver, I'm sure you'll have lots of ideas for us when we head there in June in person. Like you had said before, we're hoping to have a virtual component as well, because I think that is key to including more people. Not everybody can travel across the country, for example, to, or, stay in a hotel for that many nights. So keeping.
That's absolutely right. And I think that is really going to be a key in making the conference more accessible to people with a range of disabilities, having the bifurcated in-person or online option. But I will say that I'm very excited personally, to get to go to Denver and see everybody in person again.
You and me both. I forgot how much I enjoy, being in groups of people until it actually is kind of back again. So, well, thank you. Before we hop off today, Emily, I'm curious if there's any fun facts about yourself that you would be willing to share with our listeners.
Maybe kind of a weird, quirky thing is that my make-a-wish was to go to Salem, Massachusetts for Halloween.
How so? Have you been there without Halloween in the past?
I had a cousin who lived in Cape Cod. Now he's down in Louisiana. But sometimes in the summer, we would go visit him. And my mom knew that I was into witches when I was a little girl. And so we, on our way to Cape Cod, stopped in Salem and got to go see all the spooky stuff.
Well, it's funny. I had a cousin who also lived near there, and he had his wedding somewhat close to Salem, so we got there a little early, and we were able to check it out as well. And it definitely they embrace all the past history, and there's lots of tours. Yeah, it was neat. It is a fun place, that's for sure. But I have not been during Halloween either, so.
Well, it was quite the it was okay going there in the days and leading up to Halloween, but what we didn't realize was the I don't know if it's the city or the state or what, actually shuts down like automobile traffic into Salem on Halloween night. And so I remember I was supposed to be going to a gala that night, and my aunt was driving a minivan, and this big Irish cop with a red face yelled at my aunt, "No, you can't get through this way." And so we went around the block, and I was like, "Oh, Aunt Becky, what do we do?" And she said, "We try again." So we drove back to the man and the police officer, and my aunt said to him, "Sir, please come here." And so he walked back over very angry at her, and she said, "Sir, just give me a minute. In the back of this car, we have a girl, and it is her make-a-wish to go to Salem for Halloween, and we are trying to get there." And he said, "Oh, well, why didn't you say so?" And gave us a motorcycle police escort up to the building that our gala was in.
Oh, how funny. Oh, dear. Did you grow up in the Northeast?
I was born in Connecticut, moved to Indiana when I was about 2, but my mom is from upstate New York. My dad is from Long Island. So every summer, my mom would take me, and then when my sister was born, me and my sister, to New York on my grandparents' farm for at least a month every year.
Wow, that's awesome. I live in upstate New York. I'm curious where the farm was.
Are you like near Albany at all?
So I grew up in Clinton, which is closer to Albany. Right now I live near Rochester, so more western, but I'm very familiar with the state because I used to do training.
You have a very good Center for Independent Living in Rochester.
We do.
Fun fact, my sister and I won a video contest that Center for Independent Living sponsored. But anyway, the farm is in Gilderland.
Yep, I know where that is.
Right by Crossgates Mall.
Yes, definitely in the capital region, so near Albany. And because it's our capital, we would have to go there for lots of state training.
Okay.
Yep, there quite often. But yes, you are correct. The Rochester Independent Living Center here does a really nice job. And I used to be a special education teacher. And when I started working with schools to train school staff on options for students after high school with disabilities, that was one of the key places that I, reached out to and found out a lot about the different things that they offer and just ways that they can help, which I was pretty impressed for sure.
Very cool.
Yeah. Well, thanks for joining us today, Emily, and I'm looking forward to working with you over the next few years as part of the National APSE Board. And I would agree. I think there probably is a steep learning curve. I don't know how steep for you, probably not super steep, but I think because each state is so very different, the national perspective, and I know I found this when I started working for National APSE, it's each state is very different. So looking at it broadly does take a little bit of time to understand and just get used to.
Well, it was my pleasure, and I am definitely looking forward to contributing and serving our membership where I can.
Thank you. Have a great day.